following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Oh, it's wonderful!
I'm excited to knock somebody the hell out.
We're not gladiators. This isn't the Roman Colosseum.
Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Oh, Belvedere, come here, boy.
Next time, we're just watching the Super Bowl. That's all we're going to watch, the Super Bowl.
Who's going to the Super Bowl?
You can
make it! I told you. I told your Trump ass.
You better believe that.
Wait a minute.
He's running the
You're
wrong
going the
way.
Wrong way. Holy moly.
And now, here's John and Tom.
They loft it up into the air. Tip it out of bounds. What a great play by the Quell Jacks.
End of the game.
Colts win and go to the next round. Final score, Colts 26, Cincinnati 10.
Joe Flacco takes the snap, and that's going to do it. The Ravens win on Wild Card Weekend as they stun the Steelers 30-17.
Arizona finishes with 77 yards. 86
wow.
is the lowest in the history of the NFL before tonight's
game. Oh, that is unbelievable. It wasn't pretty in spots. Ball a little slippery. The Panthers win the Wild Card playoff game by a final of 27-16.
Stafford in the gun. Snap back, fourth down. No press. He's sacked! He's sacked! DeMarcus Lawrence with the sack, strip, fumble. How about that? The Cowboys are going to go to Green Bay.
Oh, now don't hate, John.
I'm not hating. I'm just putting out the absolute reality of the situation. And, of course, we labeled it here on this show, and probably, what, the first show that we did of the season, which was, what, four. So, Buszilla exists. He's alive. He's crawling out of the harbor, marching all over Texas. It was the frickin' party bus ride that got them this. That's right. That's right. That's right. And you know what? I call on America. I call on the world. Buszilla. Make it a word. Hashtag Buszilla. It will not stop. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Patriots fans are breathing a sigh of relief. Oh, thank God it's not us anymore.
Oh, man. Yeah, everywhere I look, all I hear is... There's another one.
Wasn't that just Ndamukong Suh, though?
Oh, I have him, too.
We haven't seen this kind of emotion from you, Ndamukong. Can you just take us through what you're feeling right now?
I mean, honestly, just, I didn't expect this. That's what it comes down to.
Do you feel like you've left the bucket all out there the whole season? Is that why you feel like you need to do
that? For sure.
Oh, man. Okay, all right, hold on, hold on.
Holding me on fourth down, Tom.
All right, hold on. Stop. We're going
right, yeah,
we're gonna get to that game. Yeah, we're going to get to that game. I am Tom. He's John. It's Bang Radio Hour number 253. And coming up, yes, Buszilla has resurfaced for sure. And John, I hate those damned ashy lips. You ever get the ashy lips? I hate those.
Especially in the cold weather.
We've got somebody who's going to talk about the factory of sadness. You wait to hear what that is.
Did we talk about the Raiders last week?
This is a different one. Jungle Boy was in Carolina and a Gilbert to remember. You don't want to miss that. That is going to be the highlight of the show, I think.
I can't wait for that. I haven't heard this. I can't wait.
Anyway, I wanted to go over these real quick. We knew it wasn't going to be anybody but Yisman, whose team name is Guile.
Guile.
He won running away with it, 2,396 points. That was 93 points more than second place, which was sharp as a whistle. Anadem hung on to third place. Nizzle, Padizzle, and Hooya in fourth. I finished fifth. And there you were again, still in 50th place. You never budged from that spot the past month.
And you know, the worst part is the people that are directly underneath me probably stopped playing 10 weeks ago.
Probably.
I just can't get out of my own way in that game. However, I'm looking forward to next year, and I'm looking forward to everybody making angry Jimmy Greer names, because that seems to be the fun thing to do on Facebook now, is twist Jimmy around and watch him go.
Well, I saw in the playoff gridiron challenge, which we didn't talk about on the last show, so not everybody realized it was going on, but somebody had had the team name, a witty team name.
That's witty. I would give that witty on the scale of maybe a 4 out of 10.
Yeah.
It took a little bit of wittiness to do it, but really not much.
Oh, by the way, you heard them mention, if you heard in the highlight of the Cardinals-Panthers game, that Arizona had 77 total yards of offense in that game,
right,
which was a new playoff record, a new playoff low.
Now, that's a record.
Yeah, and the previous record was 86 yards, and at least now, that's one record that the Cleveland Browns no longer, after, I don't know, 50 years, they no longer have to claim that record.
For them, though, you know, you got to hold on to everything you can.
I know. I understand.
Let's face it. You know, Baltimore went and took the team and said, yeah, sure, you can have all your records, including that one.
I don't think anybody was surprised. You know, we talked about it. It was going to be 4 straight first round losses, one and done again for the Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals.
But I go ahead.
You know, I don't know what they want to tell me. I honestly didn't think they were all that good this year. When they were getting into towards the end of the year and looking like they were in first place for a while there, I was kind of surprised. They just didn't seem to be able to get it together when they needed to ever, especially at home.
Except for one game. One game they did, and that was against the Denver Broncos, and it was on prime time. And I don't know, I never saw that team. That was the only time I saw that Bengals team in the second half of the season.
Yeah, the Browns should have been there, not the Bengals.
Johnny Manziel should be on his way to the Super Bowl right now.
That's right. Boy, you want to see somebody party. There you go. That dude throws more parties a week than he throws completions. Did
Man.
You know that?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. But in that Bengals-Colts game, I do want to give it up here. This amazing, you know, you can tell he's a longtime vet when you hear professional analysis in a game like this. It's Phil Simms. Listen to this.
Early in the year, the screen game was one of the main primary focuses or part of the Bengals offense.
Wait. The dude just covers all his bases and says nothing whenever he opens his mouth.
Hold on, Tom. Now, if you're scratching your head, I'm going to play it for you one more time.
Early in the year, the screen game was one of the main primary focuses or part of the Bengals offense.
The main primary focus, or it was part of the offense.
Yeah, it might be. You might put a pound of salt in the spaghetti or just a teaspoon.
Right. It was 95% of the offense, but then it was also 5% of the offense.
Tom, all season long, for most of the time, part of the year, the Bengals have been a team you have to reckon with and pay some sort of attention to as an offensive threat that is primarily, sometimes, better than average. And then, of course, Jim Nance, the frickin' piece of wood, goes, second down and 4.
I know.
Just once. You know he can't possibly have his earpiece plugged in. There's no way. Because, you know what? You would hear a dead silence after he said what he just said. Because I'd look at him and say, what the hell does that even mean?
Jim Nance was so confused at that moment. He couldn't do anything else.
Second down and 4. Look, there was one that Tilliard put up. He got the audio of it. Unfortunately, it was terrible audio because it was from British television. So Phil Simms has a British accent, and I won't play that. But he says, well, if Marvin Lewis thinks that he fumbled, then he should throw the challenge, but he didn't, so he shouldn't. And it's like, what the hell was that? Is the producer in his ear going, look, we need 20 seconds filled up. Just spout, monkey.
Right.
I can't stand Phil Simms. By the way, best Twitter follow that there is, at Phil Simms quotes. It's just a couple of clowns that sit around and they transcribe everything that idiot says during the course of the game. It is a fabulous public service.
That's awesome. Quotes. Props to you guys. That's fantastic.
I love it, man. It's great.
All right. One guy we do love is Michael Irvin. But, John?
Yes.
John, he be getting some ashy lips, man.
you know, when you flap him around as much as he does, I'm surprised he doesn't have ashy face.
You think you got to pick out a picture where my lips need ashy and all of that? And come on,
that's
man.
A lot of pictures, Irv.
I know it. You found one.
It's a lot of pictures
where my lips are right.
There's a lot of pictures.
Come on, man. Gobble gobble on this mess, man.
Reason number 321 why we love Michael Irvin on TV. Why y'all always be using pictures of my lips be ashen?
Gobble, gobble on this, man. Listen to me.
Right.
why y'all always be using pictures of me when my lips need ashen?
Man.
Now, wait a minute. See, I gotta make an admission here, Tom. I am white. My lips don't get ashy that I know of. I can't see them because it's too similar to my skin color. However, is there a process that your lips need ashen? Like, if your lips get ashy, do you have to do something with it and it's referred to as ashen yourself? Because that's what he asks. That's what he says. Why do y'all get a picture of me when my lips need ashen?
Right.
See what I mean? Your lips get going that fast. They're burning. They're on fire. Ashes are going to result. S-A-P-H-N, ashen.
Oh, man. You know, yeah, that's Michael.
I know. And, you know, now comes the hard part of the year when we hope that they don't let him go.
Taking it to the H-O-U-S-N-E, baby, every day.
That's right.
Every day.
He's housing it.
That's right. He's housing it.
That's right. B-R-F-N, lips. Can you use that in a sentence, please? This is Michael Irvin at the fourth grade spelling bee.
Oh, no.
Yes,
no.
Michael, of course. Why y'all always be using pictures of me when my lips be ashen?
I don't know if there's any chance you saw Stephen King's The Stand.
Oh, long ago, yeah.
You remember that? And remember the old farm boy? Oh, man. P-O-O-L. That spells moon.
M-O-O-N. Right. Everything spelled. M-O-O-N.
Finally, at the end, he spelled it right. But all the way through the entire thing, every word he would spelled moon. And,
right.
And finally, at the end, he said M-O-O-N. That spells moon.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, that M-O-O-N guy is Patrick Starr from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Is that right?
That's him, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic. Wow, I did not know that.
Yes, that's him. And there's your fun fact for the day.
All right, now, again, I want to go back to that Colts-Bengals game for a second because there was a time when Andrew Luck was trying to draw the Bengals off sides, you know?
Right.
You know,
it's like in the fourth quarter.
Right, right. So he's just trying to get him to jump, and he's at the line, and he's yelling and everything. And check out right at the end of it. Listen to this.
Is Luck going to act it out here for another 15 seconds?
Fernandez! Renegade, hot! Hot! Hot!
And there's your answer. They're not buying the act.
No, stop it. No, stop it.
You guys are supposed to jump. Come on.
No, stop it.
That's bullcrap.
No, stop it.
I can listen to that all day. Andrew Luck, I mean, how do you hear that in the stadium? He's at the line and you hear it.
No, stop it.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, stop
He's
it.
Right. That was pretty good.
No, stop it.
He puts his hands on his hips. You guys. You sillies. Hot, hot. Come on. Of course, Phil Simms is up in the booth.
You know, Tom, if they jump off sides, it'll be a 5-yard penalty. But since they're not jumping, it's not offside.
And then Jim Nance goes, fourth down and three.
Right. Oh, stop it, Phil.
No, stop it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's all right.
It's the little things. It just doesn't take much to amuse us, does it?
Hell no. You know, I don't know who else heard that, but I sure as hell did on the TV, and that's what I'm listening for. You know, you want to watch football with me? Here's how you watch football with me. You know when they show the sidelines, okay, and they're showing the coach over there on the sidelines? Don't look at the coach. Look at the guy behind him to his right.
Right, exactly.
Look at that guy. See what he's doing.
No, stop it.
Right. Look at somebody in the crowd. I swear to God, you see the goofiest shit when you look, when you do that. Everybody wants you to look at the coach, and then you're supposed to make some big judgment. Oh, look, the coach is completely lost. I saw 3 seconds of him on TV. He has no idea what he's doing based on what I saw. Nah, that's why it's worthless. Look behind him. Yeah.
I can't take it anymore.
That's right.
Marcella.
Dude, that was as blatant of a call as, or I don't know what the hell that was.
Child stopper.
I knew we, that's why there was a reason why we played that before we got to the Cowboys.
You know, I don't know. Maybe it had, okay, and I don't know who in the world is listening to this podcast that doesn't know what we're talking about. We're talking about the pass interference call, and here's how it sounded.
That's an easy call when the defender doesn't turn and locate.
He never looked back for the ball. If you're an official, you've got to look back, or if you're a defender, you got to look
like
back
Mann
and locate the ball, and they did not.
Now let's see.
Now what just happened?
Are they saying no flag? They're bringing it back. Wow, both teams had gone all the way down there. So the Lions are going to be looking at fourth and one.
What?
Now hang on, were they offsetting penalties? What do we have?
All I heard was interference, Dallas.
Now I've got nothing. Anything?
Now I've got nothing. Anything?
Dude, the second guy sounds like John Madden.
I know, I know. Now listen, he said the defender did not even look back. He's got to look back. Well, little right. Hard to turn your head when the receiver's got a hold of your face mask.
Oh, no, he let it go of it well before
that. Oh, did he? Did he really?
This is a here he did. And besides the fact of that, this is a call 110% of the time anywhere else, anytime, ever, ever, ever. In fact, the call was made. Everybody knows this. We're just rehashing it. It was called. They marched it off, and then this guy came from way down the other side and said, "Wait a minute! No, 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 no."
Right, the guy who saw him holding on to his face mask.
And the holding that was going on.
Oh,
and
when
the
NFL
has already called up and apologized for the holding that wasn't called on Ndamukong Suh.
You mean when we saw him yank his jersey a little bit there? Is that the holding you're talking about?
Oh, well, then if that's a hold, then that's not a face mask. I mean, dude, he's only
no,
got
no,
his
no,
finger.
No, I know. And I saw. And you know what? At the very least, they should have called holding. At the very least.
Right, which is a 5-yard penalty. Or yeah. Well, either way, they call holding,
and it's a first down either way. But here's the thing: when he yanked on his jersey like that, that should have been holding. Right. I see that every other fucking play, every other play, you see that.
I agree. Because I'm sitting there watching the Ravens game, and I was watching it with my sister, who's a Ravens fan, and I'm watching. And dude, you can call these illegal contact plays. Calls on every freaking play. Every freaking play.
It's just like holding. You can call it almost every single play.
Right. So, no, not almost. Every play. Right. Unless it's a run. You can call it on every play. The fact of the matter is, I hope that this shows the NFL how stupid this shit is, how they've had a season that has just been wrecked by flags. Just fucking wrecked by flags.
Every year.
So, well, yeah, but it gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
And it gets more inconsistent, it seems like.
Because there's more and more rules, and they tell them they have to emphasize certain things. Fuck that, man. You don't emphasize certain rules. You call them all or you call none of them. You know? You don't just say, okay, well, we're going to be looking for this today. Bullshit.
Yeah.
If you see it, call it. If you don't, shut up.
And why isn't anybody addressing the real travesty in this game? And that was that stupid ticky-tack running into the kicker call on fourth down. Give me a break.
That is the definition of the rule, though. You got to give him a place to come down.
It is.
Right under his feet.
It is, and you're right, but back to the inconsistency, they murdered our punter twice and never got called.
It's Texas. You're allowed to have one murder down. Everybody gets one, right? Now, you know what? All right, time to be the actual, real, honest to goodness, know something about football fan. The Lions, you want to cry? Fine. Then score a touchdown in the second, third, or maybe the fourth quarter, and you won't have to cry. Okay?
don't shank a punt 10 yards.
Wait a minute. Let's
game is on the line.
Let's see if it's still going on. Let's just turn on our microphone that's right in the center of the city of Detroit. Yeah, still going on there. What are you going to do?
You know, shit. It's aggravating that I have to say this, but once again, human beings of Earth, officials do not cost you games. Officials get in the way of games, and officials can fuck up games, but one call does not make or break your game. If your whole game boils down to one play, then you screwed up 74 other chances to score.
Okay. All right.
Simple as that.
Wow.
Right? Hey, no, look. Seriously, the Lions did not score a touchdown from the second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, right?
Is that right?
They let Dallas hang around. You've heard it before. You let them hang around, then something like this can kill you. That's why you can't let the team hang around. Sorry, you just can't do it. You got the offense. You got Megatron. You got it all going on.
We forced them to let us hang around, though.
Right. A field goal earlier in the game, okay, that gives you a tie. You know, you score a touchdown in the first half. In the second quarter or third quarter, no problem. Game over. Call means nothing.
Yeah, we missed a field goal, too.
However, that call was a bunch of bullshit, and it is Buszilla, and it is absolutely cheating on the part of Jerry Jones, and you goddamn well know. I'm going to fall in love with that. It'll never die. It'll never die, and it'll never die as long as there's ever a call that will go their way. And you know there will be. There will be one on Sunday.
Yeah, but right now, there's a Cowboys fan who is celebrating, and we love it when people have video cameras on people right when a game ends and you get stuff like this.
Fourth down, let's come on! Off the edge. Spencer, they're giving a little bit of help right now.
So nervous.
The rookie. Trying to secure the edges.
Let's go, baby.
Let's go.
He's not
going to
stop him. He's
going to
catch it.
Yes! Yes! Fuck you! Suck a dick! Stick it in the ass, you bitch! Suck on it! Jump on it! Fuck you! Woo! Yeah! Fuck yeah! That's what it's all about! Fuck yeah! Fourth down stuff! Where the defense at? Woo! Fuck you, Stafford! Fuck you, Shannon! Suck a dick! Fuck yeah! Woo! Yeah!
Where is Daddy?
This shit is getting real!
Who is that?
This was taken from surveillance footage from just any random immigration office around the country on Sunday.
Woo! Yeah!
Boy, he's vindicated, isn't he?
He sounds like somebody. He sounds like he was really angry. You know?
Yeah, I know. Like it was all about him, wasn't it?
Well, he was all personal with Stafford.
Fuck you, Stafford! Suck a dick!
That's right. Hey, you know what? It might have been his sister on the party bus.
It might have been. Oh, he was a very large Hispanic man with a very tight, tight Witten jersey on. You can see him on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. You know, I tried to find him. I couldn't quite...
Oh,
dig him
my
up.
Gosh.
I looked up fat Hispanic man with Witten jersey, and dude, I thought YouTube blocked those kinds of videos. What the hell is up with that?
Ah, John, this is great.
No, dude, this sucks. And you know what? Like I said, the only thing that might be great about it is that they'll look at it. Oh, by the way, when Stafford fumbled, you know, you could make an argument for a tuck rule there.
Okay.
The NFL's just got to fix the rule book. They've just got to fix the rule book. These idiots don't know what they're doing out there. They don't know what they're doing out there, Tom.
Well, I know. You know, it's you know, not going to be easy going into Green Bay where it's going to be 17 degrees on Sunday as we go in there. But there's a chance. I can't imagine he won't start the game. And I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers. Right. Whether he finishes or not, I don't know. You know, he's got calf and hamstring issues. You saw what happened in the last game, but he has had a week to rest. So I have no doubt he's going to start the game. We'll just have to see, you know, if he has to scramble at any point or anything, that could be a problem for him. So we'll.
No, I don't know about that. What's a problem for him is when defensive linemen back up and step on him and stand on him.
Well, that.
So, you know, get Mincy in there to mince around a little bit.
I still can't believe that they lifted that suspension.
I can, because it's a bullshit suspension. Look,
You know what? You're going to suspend a guy a game for punching his freaking wife or his soon-to-be wife 2 games. And then you're going to suspend him for standing on. I mean, dude, if he's on your team, you're applauding his ass. And I'm not saying that specifically about you, but as a football fan in general who grew up back in the day, Tom, when they used to let men play football and blood was allowed to be spilled and bells were allowed to be rung and you rubbed some dirt on it after you were shaken up and you went right back in the game and guys didn't cry about a few cleats in their thigh. No, they stood up and kicked them in the balls and said, I'm coming back for you. And nobody cared because back then men wore cups because they had balls.
And I agree with you 100%, but I'm still very surprised that they lifted the suspension, just the way things are now.
Yes, considering it's such a powder puff league, I agree. And, you know, I say that being as that I would get myself killed if I played even one down. Yeah, I don't mind, though. I don't mind. And you know what? Sue's going to be a free agent. And
bring him to Dallas. I would take him in a heartbeat. Oh, my God.
Him and Adrian Peterson.
Oh, I don't need Peterson.
I'd take Sue in a heartbeat, too. But you know what? We got a new general manager.
Yep.
We got a new general manager who, if you didn't know how to pronounce his name, you might say McClown.
All right. So... So, you know, what I do like is that, you know, if you have a good friend who's a fan of an opposing team and his team is out, you know that he's a good friend, so he'll be cheering for your team. You know, because that's what friends do.
Do you know somebody like that? Because he's a pretty cool dude.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I do. I do know people like that. Yeah.
Go Packers, baby. Go Packers.
Oh, I wasn't talking about you. I said a good
friend.
It would have to be a good friend to do something like that. You know. Here. Hey, John.
Totally unscripted, John, folks. Right off the cuff there.
I got a Cowboys fan's got a message for you.
Fuck you, suck a dick. Stick it in your ass, you bitch.
Right.
You know why his girlfriend was recording that? So if he had his freaking usual heart attack, she could show it to the EMTs when she called 911 to prove it.
What was his last words?
Suck on it! Suck on it! Fuck you! Yeah.
Now Consuela's job hasn't been in vain.
There's only, John, I'm so full of cowboy fever right now. There's only one person I think that could be as full of cowboy fever as me right now, and that would be our good buddy Jerry Jones. We've got to call him.
You go call him. I'm going to the bar. This is ridiculous.
Bye. All right. Let me get Jerry on the phone, man. I need support. I need my man.
Hello.
Jerry Jones, John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour. How are you, sir?
Well, God dang, Tom, nice to hear from you, boy. Ain't it a glorious time to be a Cowboys fan?
It is wonderful. Oh.
Hell yes, it is. Let me tell you what, Tom.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I owe this success to one thing and one thing only.
What's that?
Proper investing, Tom.
Proper investing.
Look, I know you're a homo.
Wait a minute. Are you talking about players? You talking about Tony Romo's contract? What do you mean?
I'm talking about knowing what pays off and knowing when to get in and get out. Listen. I know what pays off, and people can say all they want about how we've been patient. We've been drafting all these offensive linemen. We let Howdy Doody, you know, get himself under his feet and everything like that. We hired a couple of big guys to stop me from drafting Johnny Manziel, and all that's true. But I'm going to tell you what, a $75,000 party bus and 3 or 4 pole dancers for a night is what brings home the bacon, baby. Woo! God dang right, boy. Them Dallas Cowboys is heading for the glory hole. Which, by the way, is the name of our rolling party bus. That's right. That's what's called proper investment, Tom. You got to know what is going to pay the dividends. And there you see it, right there. Right there in black and white, except that it's the modern age and it's in full color right there on your TV. You know how you know it's in full color? Because you can tell that's me hugging Chris Christie and not some big, giant, irradiated tangerine. Looked like a science fiction movie up in there, wasn't it? Holy smokes. You know what? Later on, he asked me to help him with a threesome. I didn't want to do it. It wasn't any fun. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. We all know. We're football men. We know that wasn't what was entirely what won the game. It was that controversial call. But, hey, you notice nobody got pictures of that Lions punter getting off the bus Friday night, did you?
Right.
Right, that's right. No, they didn't. They outfoxed them boys there. See, Thomas, like I said, it's about making wise and timely investments. Why do you think I let myself get photographed in the men's room rodeo with 2 bar whores? Huh? It's so them boys with the cameras will follow me around. Huh? And all right, you see, you're starting to catch on. You understand what's going on. They're looking for me to do something stupid. Meanwhile, I'm driving the punter around.
There you go.
See this lap day?
Hey, what do you think about all these whiny crybabies? I'm not just talking about the Detroit fans. I'm talking about all these stupid talking heads on television that are claiming that the NFL fixed the game.
Well, the NFL did fix the game, Tom, and I shouldn't say that. The NFL really didn't have much to do with it.
Right.
It was me and a couple of Mexican hookers
right.
on the party bus.
Right.
We fixed the goddamn game, and there's nothing the NFL can do about it, because I'm going to tell you something else. Unless they keep their mouth shut, I'm going to stop giving them the shots that's going to keep them alive, because that girl had a horrific disease that we can't even pronounce in this language. All right, so now you're catching on. And just listen here. Between you and me and that monkey boy Redskin fan they make you sit there with, I want it to be known that in my generous nature, here in this cold snap in this polar vortex that's taken this country by in a grip of icy fear and all the snow it's dumped all across the land, I have agreed to provide transportation for the officials to Green Bay aboard Dallas Cowboys official G6 party jet.
Well, that is very nice of you. I think that's very generous.
It's in the bag, Tom. You ever had a Hummer at 700 miles an hour?
I can't say that I have.
Well, the headlineman's about to. God dang right, boy. I'll see y'all in Green Bay, Tom. We're heading on to Seattle or wherever's next.
All right, Jerry. Go Cowboys, buddy.
Go Cowboys.
John.
What? God damn it. You're bothering my drinking over here.
Jerry, you know, I love Jerry's insuring us a victory. It's fantastic.
I'm sure he is. Dude, you know what? This is a comedy show. I don't know if you got to listen to Bruce Allen, our GM last week, in his State of the Union address. We could have just played that and stayed home because it was funnier than hell. And that's why I'm drinking.
Oh, but I got to tell you, these conspiracy theorists, have you seen the TV ratings?
For the Cowboys game?
For all of the football.
Oh, yeah, they're huge.
Oh, and starting on Thursday with the playoff games, the college playoff games, 28 million people watched each one of those games. All right, highest cable program ever in history.
Right.
Those two games were the highest, most watched shows in cable TV history, which, you know, they're going, oh, look at that. We better go to 8 teams. Thank you. That's coming very soon now. I promise you that. Well, and we've been telling them this.
I can't freaking wait. I just hope, Tom, that they do it before Hackenberg goes to the NFL.
Well, they've been doing this. We've been telling them this for years, that if they did this, they would get huge money from TV ratings. ESPN paid $7.3 billion for the rights to broadcast the playoff games till, I can't remember, like the next 5 years or whatever it is. I guarantee this is going to be next year might be the same, but I can't believe more than 2 more years of this before it goes to 8 teams. That would be the max. They might do it next year. Who knows?
And while they do it, they should take the 104 in Division 1A.
Oh, it's like 100. It's like 125 now.
All right, pare it down to like 50. Tell the other ones to create Division Z, which is like the next division. And we all watch that, too. We will.
Yes.
There's a lot of people that are... We will. We'll watch that, too. And then have a real league of the major powers that consistently stay major powers. There's about 50 of them that can hang in this league.
Well, wait.
We can, okay. We can have a real championship.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you've got 8 teams, okay, then you're guaranteeing that every conference champion is going to be in the playoffs, which if you win your conference, you deserve a shot to play for it.
Absolutely.
So that'll take care of it.
I think it's fantastic what we're going to get. And I will say this. You notice this all started to happen after Beano Cook died.
Yes. How about that?
That old bastard.
How about that? All right. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to hear from Urban Meyer, a very, very, I don't know whether to call him upset. I think he's upset or he's just obvious. It's a Browns fan we're going to hear from.
They're always upset.
And there's a new book out about an NFL player. Oh, my God.
Oh, we've talked about it on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we're going to get into that, too. That's all coming up.
Bang, 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 bang.
Any time that I can get back to that glory hole, then that's a happy day for me.
But all we kept talking about.
Glory hole days.
Well, let it pass you by.
Glory hole days.
And the work of the young girl's eyes.
glory hole days.
I had a friend who was a big football owner down in Texas. Had a stadium as big as a county and a funny looking facelift. Saw him the other night in this roadside men's room. He was getting up, coming out of the stall. Well, he was brushing his knees and he was wiping his lip, and there was a dick hanging there through the wall.
Glory hole days.
Well, he can't pass one by.
Glory hole days.
It just might get in your eye.
Glory hole days. I've been here when it was glory hole days, and I've been here when it was. I want me some glory hole.
VOTech. VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
And now, Cincinnati Bengals highlights from last week. You have been listening to Cincinnati Bengals highlights from last week. Join us again next time for more of the same.
Hi, I'm Jerry Jones. If you're like me, you can't get enough football. Of course, if you were like me, you'd have an owner's box, a field pass, and a 12-person hot tub shaped like Texas Stadium. That's right. I love football.
Hey, this is Neil from 3 Days Grace, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
The 2015 Rose Bowl champion are your Oregon Ducks. And they didn't just win it, they ran away with it. 59-20 over the Florida State Seminoles.
And the king of the SEC has fallen.
Yes!
Ohio State defeats Alabama 42-35, and the Buckeyes will go to Dallas and face Oregon for the national championship.
All right, Jerry Land's going to be hopping.
Hell yeah, man. I can't wait. I'm hyped as hell for this.
Okay, now, wait a minute. Now, I understand you can't root for the Cowboys, but this is the Big Ten.
The Big Ten has romped and stomped. SEC, you can kiss our butts.
Yes. Now,
by the way, did you happen to notice Christian Hackenberg's performance in the Pinstripe Bowl, baby? Let's talk about something important.
But what I'm saying is, you will root for Ohio State in this game, correct?
I will not root against Ohio State in this game.
All right. Okay, fair enough.
Just like, I understand. If the Cowboys were playing a team of North Koreans this week, same thing.
Right. I understand you won't. It's not that you're going to root for Ohio State. You'll be rooting for the Big Ten. You're rooting for the Big Ten is what you're doing.
I'm rooting for the Big Ten, and I'm rooting against Oregon because, frankly, dude, those uniforms are fucking hideous.
Well, now the ones they're going to wear in the championship game have no green. Unbelievable. They got gray pants and white jerseys, and all the stuff on the jerseys, the numbers are black, and the rest of the detail on the jerseys is gray. Same with the helmets. No green. Very weird.
They're trying to confuse the third string quarterback who doesn't have time for school, Tom.
That's right. He's not to get an education. Everybody knows
they're trying to look like Buckeyes. They're going to put stickers of pot leaves all over their helmets.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what, though. Urban Meyer, after the game, they told him about the score of the Oregon game. Here, listen to this.
I think Oregon won by 40 today. Can you talk about
Oregon won by 40?
What was the 59-20?
Oh. I got to go. We got to go get ready for that one.
He's got to leave. They got to go prepare.
That's the post-game presser. That's the post-game presser. He had no idea. Dude, I expected more out of Florida State. I really didn't.
I said it on our Blitz morning show all week that Oregon was going to roll them.
Well,
yep.
I got nothing to say about it. I can't say anything because they sure as hell did.
Man, did they ever.
They rolled the shit out of them.
And, you know, by the way, I forgot to mention the NFL ratings. You know, I told you 28 million for each of the playoff games. But then on Saturday and Sunday, you had 28 million watching the Steelers and Ravens Saturday night, which was the second most watched mm-hmm. Saturday playoff game. The Panthers Cardinals, I get it, it's the Panthers Cardinals, but that game still had 21 million people watching it. Probably
do you think the Panthers have any chance?
I will say I think they have a chance. I do think they have a chance because of Cam Newton's legs mm-hmm. and because of their defense. They're playing really good defense and they can run the ball, man. Jonathan Stewart can run that football and so can Cam Newton. And now D'Angelo Williams is healthy too to give him some extra, you know, some extra fresh legs in there.
They got that other rookie that the no name whose name I can't remember that comes in and does all right for him. I think they have a chance. I'll tell you what, in the Baltimore game, going all the way back to the beginning of the show where you play the intro from the Baltimore game, and he says, and the Ravens stun the Steelers.
Yeah.
Okay, seriously, football fans, hands up of people who are stunned by Joe Flacco playing lights out fucking football in the playoffs and winning on the road.
Yeah, my hand is not up.
Nobody's hand is up unless they don't know what the...
I'm not surprised at all, and I'll tell you who does have a chance. I'll tell you who absolutely has a chance to win this weekend, because the last two times
Flacco.
They went to New England, they whipped them Patriots, and they definitely can do it again.
Flacco. I mean, you know what? I feel like I'm rehashing everything that everybody's talked about on Sports Talk all week long, but it's my voice and you can deal with it. So, goddamn, man, seriously, I hate the Ravens. I freaking hate them. But I can't help but respect that dude. He is freaking Clint Eastwood.
Oh my gosh, Jim Harbaugh said after the game, Joe Flacco's great in every month. He's the best quarterback in the NFL.
It's hard to argue against it.
Oh,
I mean, he might not have the
come
stats
on.
And the numbers, but the dude freaking wins. I wouldn't say he was. If you said to me who's the best quarterback in the NFL, I have to say Tom Brady.
I'll still say Manning, but give Peyton Manning the Ravens defense. Give Peyton Manning
okay, but
that
Ravens defense.
The defense
isn't the same Ravens defense that it used to be.
Really?
They're out there playing with a guy as a cornerback who's bounced off of two practice squads this year.
I don't care. I think that when you go play defense in Baltimore, you buy into a system, and there are enough leaders on that team. I know Ray Lewis is gone, but watching them in the playoffs, it really didn't look much different to me than it usually does, even when Ray was there.
Tell you what. You know what I saw? I saw Steve Spagnuolo coaching the secondary.
Uh-huh.
I see Gary Kubiak as the offensive coordinator on the side.
Uh-huh.
I see that why their formula works. They have a front office that spots talent. They have a coach and a coaching staff that knows how to get the most out of it. And they do not sit on that. All right? These are new guys, right? It's not like they've been there forever.
No, but if you listen to, you know, veteran defensive players, especially guys who played at a high level, you know, Hall of Famers, guys with rings, they will tell you that defense is more about attitude than anything, and that you can take the same exact talent and put it on the field, you know, on two different defenses, and one defense has a certain attitude, they're going to dominate, the other defense doesn't, and they're just going to be crap.
Well, that's obvious. I mean, let's face it, Ray Lewis is a moron.
Well, they have that attitude in Baltimore. It's kind of there, and if you can't get into that attitude, you don't play there. That's just how it is.
No, I get it. I get that completely. And it's coaching that instills that attitude and the previous success. But like I said, attitude is a lot on defense. I can't help but agree with that because, like I said, Ray Lewis is a moron. He goes to school to study school. But he can play football. And if he fails on the field, they all fail.
So if I fail, we all fail.
Those kids have got to be in high school by now. I hope they're doing all
right. I know,
since
right?
He retired. They all dropped out when he retired.
Ray Lewis quit? Okay, I quit.
I ain't going to school no more.
All right, and then I did want to mention the Sunday ratings from this past weekend. The Bengals-Colts game got 30 million viewers. Yeah. And the Cowboys-Lions game got 42 million viewers. This is a wild card playoff game. 42 million people watched this game. They were talking about the NFL ratings being bigger than they've ever been, that every week the number one game or the number one TV show of the week, the most watched show, is Sunday Night Football. The most watched daytime show is NFL football. If NFL football is on, that's what the majority of people are watching. There's nothing that's even a close second. Nothing.
NFL football is daytime TV now.
Well, on Sundays. On Sundays.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Just on Sundays.
Well, no doubt. The problem with that is it tells the NFL that, hey, these people really like all this. This getting the defense out of the game bullshit. Hey, they like all these flags. They love that stuff.
But another thing, believe it or not, 40% of NFL football fans, 40%, John, think about this, are women.
Well, there's a reason for that, and we're going to get
there is. And his name's Rob Gronkowski, and that's coming up.
Hey, man, we almost sound like professionals. Dude, there was a big question on the Facebook page this week. Once again, how come we don't? There's got to be a radio station somewhere that would take a chance on us.
There is.
We would last no time
at all. Yes, we would, because we've done it before. We've done the show, and we have. There's a dump button. There's you work in delay. We could take care of it. First off, thank you for such a great compliment. You know, we talk about that stuff all the time, but to hear you guys say it, that's awesome. You know what it comes down to is it comes down to John and I going, okay, your son's about to start college where you live. I just bought a house up here. What do we do? Where do we apply? You know, now here's the thing. Is that if you listen to the tech heads out there, they will tell you that radio is headed towards Wi-Fi, even regular terrestrial radio. It'll still be done the same way. It's just that eventually you will get it through the Wi-Fi that automatically is in your car.
The Wi-Fi.
Right.
You'll get it through the Wi-Fi,
right,
kids, whatever that is.
So that's where it's headed, in less than 10 years. So eventually it may not matter where we live, you know?
Right. Right. And, you know, here's the thing. Hit the freaking donation button and then we won't have to worry about it. Then we can do shows every week. But see, when you make it hard for us, then, you know, we have things like moving companies that are really dirt cheap freaking Mexicans that can't do anything on time.
They were not cheap. It had nothing to do with the moving company, but that was one of my favorite team names on the Playoff Gridiron Challenge was Tom's Slow Ass Moving Company. I thought that was great. But no, it had nothing to do with the moving company. That was all done in one day. It was everything we had to go through after we moved, before we moved, and it was we had a lot of shit. That's the problem. We had too much shit.
What do you mean it's not your table, sir? It looks like the table we pick up from your other house.
But here, listen. My goal this offseason is to get set up at home so that I can do this from home. And, because I come to the radio station to do it now because, not to get too in-depth with it, but when I play audio, John's got to be able to hear it clearly and, so everything like that. I mean, we're in two different states, so this isn't like two guys being able to sit down in the same studio and do this.
Right. You people that are new to this show, you don't realize we're 600 miles apart when we do
this. John's in Maryland. I'm in Ohio.
Right.
But my goal is to make it so that I can do it from home, because if I could do it from home, then that gives me, that's just makes life a lot easier. And, we don't have to set up a certain time that's always in the evening to record. And hell, we could even do stuff live at that point.
Right. There's been people doing it forever. Our friend Lauren and Ray, they do the Boltcast the Bolt Talk podcast live. I've been on it a couple of times.
Right.
And, we'd love to do that kind of thing, but the thing that's always held us back is this thing about hitting the audio button when Tom wants to make these drops of the fun audio that we have. Like Michael Irvin telling you to suck on this, gobble gobble on this.
Gobble gobble on this, man.
Right. See how quick that happens?
Right.
I need to get set up to be able to do that at home and so that John can hear it. So there, and that's, that should be enough to help you understand. But if we can do that, then, we'll be back. It's our 10th season. It should have been a lot better. I'm sorry we weren't here every week, but hopefully that'll be back to normal next year.
Yeah. You know, besides, Tom has had to have time to dance naked around a fire and sacrifice wild animals that he's managed to ensnare so that the Cowboys would win this bullshit playoff game.
Right.
That's exactly how it happened.
Man, if I'd only known Jerry was taking care of things, I wouldn't have had to do that.
God dang it. What the hell happened to my cat?
All right. So this Cleveland Browns fan, back after the Houston game, he's downtown Cleveland, right in front of the stadium, right?
Right.
And so he's right in the street. It's at night. He's filming himself. The guy is so creative. This was one of the best rants I have ever heard. Listen to this.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder. Killer game in Houston today.
Well, thank God we built you. What a blessing for the community.
You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert.
Hold on. A shitty Kenny Chesney concert? Is that the one where Riley Cooper was calling out all the brothers he could find? Yeah.
I jump that fence and fight every nigger here.
Yep.
It never gets
nope.
old. I told you about this woman I played tennis with when she hits the ball in the net. She goes, ah, and my brain goes, he said, nigger, every single fucking time. It's everything I can do to not say it out loud. Oh my God! Cracks me up every time.
Yep, yep. All never right. gets old. All right. So anyway, the Browns fan now is talking about how it is. He says it's statistically it is impossible, and this is what he says:
stand that it is actually statistically harder for a team to be this consistently bad than it is for them to occasionally accidentally be good.
The probability is staggering. Did you happen to see that Packers game today? It's like they're playing a different sport than you are.
And here's what you have to understand. We don't even expect you to be good. We just want you to be watchable. Do you have any idea how low our expectations are? We don't expect you to win the Super Bowl. Yes. We just want you to look better than a Division III high school team. And listen, I know that there are way more important things in life than football, but you are supposed to be our pleasant distraction from those things.
But all we do is pay you money to put us in a bad mood every week.
You are a factory of sadness!
I'll see you Sunday.
We live in Cleveland, damn it!
You are a factory of sadness! He's yelling that at the stadium.
I'll see you Sunday.
I know, I'll see you Sunday. My favorite line, though, was, did you see the Packers game today? They look like they're playing a different sport than you.
Dude, he could be he is exactly how I feel watching the Redskins.
Right.
I hate to make it sound like it's all about me, but goddammit, my name is the name of the show! So, yeah. I have never seen football so bad in all my fucking life!
I hate football!
You know, my favorite line was right in the beginning. You know, we built this place and it's covering up this majestic shoreline.
I know. I can't see the fire.
How am I supposed to see the fire, right? There's nesting birds being roasted and I can't see it.
This is where I used to roast marshmallows on the river. What's the matter with you?
I'll be right back. I'm going to go slam Johnny Manziel up against the wall.
All right.
Oh, shit.
All right. All right, next order of business, our buddy Ed Hockley. Everybody loves Ed Hockley. I mean, a great ref, you know. Nobody explains things. And, you know, that was one of the biggest problems in the Cowboys game is there was no explanation given, you know.
Because there is no explanation. Actually, the dude did explain this week. He said that the guy was moving backwards.
Yeah, face guarding. He called it face guarding, but that didn't explain the hold on the jersey, the face mask, or the hand by Hitchens on the receiver.
No, but a blogger in Detroit attempted to explain it by exposing that back judge that made the call from way down on the other side of the field as a Tea Party lunatic who made all kinds of racist tweets and shit, and this dude hunted it all down. Let me tell you something. I don't care what kind of views you have. This is the internet. I'm serious. Yeah, I'm serious. Go on our Facebook page. I think our buddy Chip Underwood a Detroit fan who is doing his best to keep a brave face.
I understand.
Say. Yeah.
I get it, man. Look, I get it. If I was a fan, Lions fan, I would be screaming about that ref, too.
You know what? If I'm a Lions fan, I just kind of roll with it. Hey, you know what? You're a Lions fan.
I'll see you next Sunday. no, I won't.
We have a lot of Lions fans.
I know.
Too.
Hey, what do you want me to say? I didn't. I'm not the ref, but I'm. I know we're playing this week, so that's all I care about. All right. So Ed Hockley, he
goddamn Ohio State bullshit, fucking cowboy crap.
Ed, I'm having a fun year, man. Ed Hockley,
I know. Fuck you.
Won my fantasy championship and everything. It's great, but I know how quick it can all turn very sad. I know how fast it can happen. By this time, 1 week from now, I could be so depressed. Come on now.
Dude, seriously. Okay, seriously. That Browns fan watched his team compete all the way into December. My team stopped competing in freaking October. We beat the Jaguars, and it went downhill from there. All right, yeah, you're right. Let's go. We're going
to
run it.
Let me get back to Ed Hockley here. The stadium PA, you know, when the referee turns his little box on there and he announces the penalty, everybody in the stadium hears it.
Right.
In the Panthers Cardinals game, that's the one Hockley was doing.
Right.
All of a sudden, you heard Ed Hockley on that, you know, he flipped it on and he said Jungle Boy says it's a good call.
Well, it was a good call, and Jungle Boy was right.
And, oh, my God, you would have thought, I mean, it was unbelievable. Everybody was like, what? What? What is it? What is that? What? You know, and... So Ed Hockley had to explain that was... Now, this... And, of course, they didn't believe him at first. He said, "Oh, right. That's
of course. Why should you? There's a good story you're wasting."
He said, "That's our replay official's nickname. I was talking about him. Well, who's that? Well, that's Tom Sifferman, my replay official.
The black guy up there with the big afro and the bone in his nose.
right. Name Tom Sifferman, really?
From his mother's side, you know.
Well." First off, Hockley meant to communicate that information to the officiating crew through they've got an official to official communication system as well. And he was confirming a penalty for 12 men on the field, but, you know, Hockley inadvertently did it, you know, on the stadium microphone. But it's true. It is Sifferman's nickname. The guy he called Jungle Boy, because this guy Sifferman, he's been a longtime field judge on Hockley's crew, and he's nicknamed Jungle Boy by the whole crew because he goes on vacation and he tours in jungles.
So what? It's still no. See, I am an outraged American. I don't want to hear his excuse because A, he's old, and two, he's white. I don't give a shit what he's got to say.
Buona Hockley. Buona. 5 yard penalty.
Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy say offside.
Oh man.
We're gonna go up to the booth and see what Cheetah has to say.
Oh, really? Personal foul. Oh,
okay. Of course, that's Ed Hockley calling a fumble that didn't exist. Nobody knows what beating on your chest means when you're calling a penalty. Shit. What the hell is that?
That is great.
Aping 10-yard penalty.
Oh man,
Jungle Boy.
Oh, that's good. That's good stuff.
Jungle Boy and his pirate friends say the call is good, so we're sticking with that.
All right.
I have an impression of that official intercom system.
Uh huh.
Here's what it sounds like. 75% of the game.
What the fuck was that? I don't know. Hey, what the hell was that? Are you sitting on here? Hey, listen to how I sound. How come I can hear me? What?
All right.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I mentioned that 40% of NFL fans are women, and we said, well, coming up, we'll explain why. So there's a new book out, and it's called A Gronking to Remember, Book 1 in the Rob Gronkowski Erotica Series by Lacey Noonan.
I am intrigued.
You are?
Really? I'm intrigued, Tom. I've got to say, nothing says top shelf erotica like Rob Gronkowski.
I don't know if this is a real girl.
Come on, dude.
I don't know if this is a real girl writing this book. I know this is not her real name.
No, it's not a real girl. We happen to know who it is.
We do?
And because we have such an extensive listenership, I'm going to go ahead and call it. And it is Daniel Schell, who is our new show mascot since Jod Tilliard has abdicated, whether he likes it or not.
Well, I haven't read the book, but I am going to give him big props for the creativity in coming up with the author name of Lacey Noonan.
Oh, that does make me feel rather chill.
No, I want you to think about that name, Lacey Noonan. Those okay. two names, where do they come from? I know how him or her, whoever the author is, came up with this name.
Tell us, Sherlock, how is this possible?
Lacey Noonan. Think about it, John. Right. Come on.
Lacey
Noonan. From a comedy, a classic old comedy movie.
What, Arsenic and Old Lace?
No, Caddyshack.
Oh, well, see, when you go classic old movie, I go back to Cary Grant in the 30s, and you go to Ted frickin' Baxter.
Oh, man, dude.
Now we see the major difference between me and Tom.
All right, well, then maybe that doesn't click with you.
I'm sorry, dude, that's funny.
But do you understand how Lacey Noonan comes from Caddyshack?
At the moment, no, I do not. But you
all
can
right.
enlighten me if you don't all mind, right. because I'm not catching it.
All right, Ted Baxter, Judge Smales.
Judge Smales. Smales.
Smail.
you know what I'm thinking, right?
Smail.
We saved it all the way up until it actually is usable in context.
It is. You know, people who hated Michael Irvin's guts before they found this show love him. They love him now. He's their favorite person in the world now. And I love that. I think that's great. All right. So anyway, in the movie Caddyshack, Judge Smales, was it his niece or his granddaughter? I can't, but her name was Lacey Underall. You remember the blonde chick?
Partier? Yeah. I didn't remember her name though.
Yeah. Lacey Underall was her name in the movie. And of course, you know, the main caddy
right.
in the movie, Danny.
Right.
His name was Danny Noonan.
Okay. Oh, I see. Oh, now that's clever.
Lacey Underall and Danny Noonan. Remember, they had sex early on in the movie.
Right. See, now here I'm thinking it's about Teddy Roosevelt running up the steps while Mortimer is trying to keep the old ladies from being arrested for the murders that they've committed and buried in the basement. But it's an entirely different era and a much different movie.
Right. So
okay.
Here is the description of the book on Amazon.com. Lee has a serious problem, and it's driving a spike between her and her husband, Dan. When Lee wanders into the room where her husband and his friends are watching a football game, her life changes forever. Because at that exact moment, NFL's one-man wrecking ball, Rob Gronkowski of the New England Patriots, scores a touchdown and does his patented Gronk spike, his notorious monster smashing of a football. And when the ball shoots way up into the stratosphere, Lee's heart goes pitter-patter, and she becomes seriously turned on.
I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I had mentioned on Facebook that we had a celebrity guest to read the book, and it's Tom.
No, I'm just giving you the description.
I like how she just wanders into the room while her husband and her friends are watching football. Because I've just been in the kitchen making macaroons where a woman should be. And oh, look, there's the boys watching football on that picture box that I'm not allowed to touch.
Now, wait a minute. Now, normally... She's kind of sheepish. She can't stop thinking about it. She'd never given a second thought to football, but now the primal power of the Gronk spike and this raw monster of a man, Rob Gronkowski, is all that she wants, and she will stop at nothing until the romance of a lifetime is hers.
Dude, you're never going to be allowed to read the freaking the upcoming promotions at the gay theater with a voice like that. It's like a carnival huckster.
Well, I wasn't trying to do a voice. Do you want a voice?
In a world where Rob Gronkowski represents the ultimate in male sexuality.
That's what you want. Okay.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Let me continue.
Find out the lengths people will go to fall.
Now let me finish, damn it.
Sorry.
Find out the lengths people will go to in a world where Tom can't get through a joke because he's laughing too hard.
All right, well, go to fulfill their fantasies in this super sexy, sex-filled story of wanton lust with a super sexy, sex-filled happy ending. And then it says, wait.
You sound like a Porky's ad.
And then it says,
super sexy, fun-filled romance.
That's I'm trying to. But then it says, warning, contains some sexually graphic scenes as well as the misuse of American footballs that will leave you wet, hard, and everything in between.
Ooh, that means chubby and somewhat dry.
Right. Now, John.
Okay.
Just hearing about this book.
Talking with you about it, it's kind of weird as it is already.
It is, but no, you haven't heard weird. No, okay. No. I want you to imagine, you know, you talk about me just doing this in the voice I'm doing it in, you know, rather than doing it in some, you know, romantic or sensual voice, whatever. Can you imagine having this book read to you? By one Gilbert Godfrey.
I've been waiting all damn day. I gotta be honest. I posted it on the Facebook page this morning. I said, of everybody you can think of that we have reading this book, whoever it is, think 20 times better, and that's who we've got. And people guessed and guessed and guessed. And then I put a picture of Gilbert Gottfried up, and they kept guessing because I don't think they understood.
I
put the picture up.
I have 2 full minutes of Gilbert Godfrey reading from this book for TMZ.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't freaking wait.
All right. Are you ready?
I'm on pins and needles here.
Here we go.
I'll never forget the first time I saw Gronk spike the football. It changed my life forever. The unrivaled power of his touchdown dance, the Gronk. It jettisoned jiggling ribbons of electric jelly through my body and melted my knees like 2 pads of margarine. Turn me on quicker and made me wetter at any other time in my life besides my wedding night. Gronk lifts the football in his hands and spikes it down with such violence the ball launches 50 feet in the air and into the crowd of the stadium, who flips out wrestling to get the holy token of pigskin. Needless to say, I am weakened again by the spectacle. Silky ribbons of juicy pleasure wobble through my neck. My nipples harden. Winner, I'm hot. The room around me recedes. My breath quickens. I squeeze my hands together in the center of my chest between my breasts. I'm about to pass out when a needly nasal voice startles me from my reverie. What the hell is wrong with you, Lee? It is my husband, Dan. Dan, Daniel, my husband of 6 years. I managed to stammer out.
Oh, my God. He's reading that to a live audience.
Dude, I would wait in line to watch Gilbert Gottfried sit in a bookstore and read that.
The whole book. I'll sit there for 2 hours while he reads the whole book.
He pounded my anus as if I was the goalpost after a long drive. I screamed and yelled while Grunk grabbed my titties as I bounced around as he hit me for the touchdown pass. Oh,
God. Oh, man. It's just too freaking weird. It's just too freaking weird.
Oh, that's good stuff, man.
I couldn't possibly do justice to what Gilbert got. See, I am a rare human being in that I freaking have loved Gilbert Gottfried from the first time I heard him. I thought he was hilarious since day one.
Yep.
Most people give you a look like they are Gilbert Gottfried when you say that. They go,
huh? How can you like that annoying bastard?
So who are your picks for this weekend?
Let me see here. I'm going to go ahead and say I've got to go with Green Bay because they're at home. At the moment, I'm freaking laughing so damn hard I'm having a hard time remembering. I'll take New England's going to break the streak against Flacco. Sorry, Brady's too hot. Flacco's going down. Who else we got? We got Seattle. And
Panthers.
I'm going to take Seattle at home. And who's the other one?
Denver Colts and Indy.
Colts and Denver?
Yep.
Give me the Colts. Give me the Colts. I'm going to go with, stop it.
No, stop it.
No, you old sod, you.
No, stop it.
Peyton Manning's more than just his forehead's going to be red after this one. After the kid kicks him out of the league, he's done.
I don't think so, man. I think C.J. Anderson's going to run all over the Colts.
Whatever.
I'm taking the Colts.
All right. I think I'm in disagreement with you on the New England game. I think Brady's like, oh God, not again, and it's going to get in his head. I know not much does get in his head, but the Ravens do. For whatever reason, the Ravens get in his head, and like you said, Flacco in the playoffs, this guy is ridiculous, man.
If I'm Brady, I am sending over the 3-CD set of Gilbert Gottfried reading A Gronking to Remember to Joe Flacco to listen to at night.
Try to keep this out of your head. I caressed his balls as his navel pounded into my forehead. All I said.
At the beginning of the year, who did you pick to play the Bears in the Super Bowl?
If I can even remember. The fact that I picked the Bears made me hide my head in the sand. Who did I pick?
I don't know.
I can't remember. I might have picked. I don't think I picked the Patriots. I don't think I picked the Patriots. I might have picked something stupid.
Was it the Broncos or maybe the Broncos or the Colts? I think
it might have been the Colts.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so the Colts are the only road team winning this week.
I had, because I had Denver and Green Bay, so they're both the 2 seeds. So okay. I have a chance. I don't want it to happen, obviously. I want Dallas to win. I think, again, if we can get some pressure, you know, I think if we can bring some blitzes and force Rodgers to have to move and, you know, and then on top of that, run the ball, and they are ranked in like the 20s against the run, the Packers are, but it's going to be cold. That cold creates a very level playing field. You know, I was going to say it'll calm down a crowd, but not that one. Not the one in Green Bay. It doesn't. I don't care if it's 20 below. That crowd's ready to go, man.
Yeah, you're going to hear people say to you in the next couple of days that, oh, you know, the Packers are used to it. No, nobody gets used to it. Joe Theismann, in one of the few times he said something that was sensible, said nobody gets used to that kind of cold. Whoever endures it the best is who's going to come out on top of that. And, Tom, you have a bass boat, which you could turn into a party boat and take the field judge out and ensure the Cowboys' victory. Haven't you learned anything?
Jerry's got it covered.
You know, out there on the hole in Tangi on Tom's party boat with field judge of the day.
So I honestly think that if you bet money on any of these games, you're crazy.
Oh, and of course, you've got to tell me, you're going with Ohio State, right?
I am going with Ohio State. I am.
Not just in your heart?
No. No, and I'm definitely not alone on that.
No, you know what? I'm going to go with you on that. I'm going to go ahead and pick Ohio State because last week there was no way I thought they were going to win. In fact, being as that I have to get up in the morning just like you got to get up in the morning, maybe not so early, but I went to bed after Alabama picked off a pass in the second quarter. I said, that's it. It's going to be done.
Mm-hmm.
I missed it all.
I'm going to go with Ohio State.
And it's, you know, it's kind of the same thing there as when I watch Ohio State, it's like it's very much similar to watching Dallas. You got to run the ball. And I think if you run the ball on Oregon, you know, and pound it, you're going to wear them down. You keep your defense rested because the defense is going to have to deal with that Oregon offense, which is missing a wide receiver, by the way. And they're also missing on the defense. One of their best DBs is going to miss this game again. Not that it mattered against Florida State. But anyway, I think you run it and run it and run it, and you keep their offense off the field as much as you can. They're going to get on the field, you know, whether you give it up or score one way or another, they're getting on the field. But right. if you keep your defense rested by controlling the you know, time of possession, then they're not just, you know, running the crap out of them over and right. over and over. You get a couple turnovers or a couple of three and outs back to back, now you're in trouble against Oregon.
Right. Yeah. You just got to, you know, kind of just concede that you're going to give up the yards. You just got to stop them when you get inside the 20. And I had no idea Urban Meyer even had a party bus. So,
but yeah, and I tell you right now, I mean, defensively, Oregon doesn't scare anybody. You know, Ohio State's going to score some points. I can promise you that. Whether or not they can outscore Oregon, we'll see. I have watched the line drop a full point since it came out. The line has dropped. The betting line has dropped a full point already. So people are betting on Ohio State and taking whatever points they get.
They scared Jameis Winston. Nobody even touched him, and the dude throwing the ball backwards.
They were, dude. Have you seen that with I think it's is it Benny Hill music maybe or some one of those themes, man, where they're showing that. The best part is the referee falling down. If you watch that play, you know, he gets hit, the ball comes out. The referee,
yeah, they trample him.
It's like, no, he can't believe what he just saw. Nobody touched him. He starts running backwards and just falls down, and you put that music with it. It's like watching some old Keystone Cops show. It is friggin' hilarious. So I think people should seek that out on YouTube. You'll get a big laugh out of that.
Get ready, New York Jets. That's your new quarterback.
There you go. Fortunately, I won't have to talk about it if Dallas loses, because, well, at least not for an extra week. We will be back in 2 weeks. So we'll be back between the conference championships and the Super Bowl to do another show.
Hot dang. Everybody's all going to be waiting for bated breath on that one. They're going to hold my feet to the fire, you know.
Yes, they are. They are.
I can handle it.
So, all right. Well, there you have it. And we'll do it again next time.
Later.
Visit BangCartoon.com for a complete archive of the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour as well as Bang Cartoons. BangCartoon.com. Bang, 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 bang. Here I come. Bang. You've been listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag. Bang Cartoon Radio.